Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Great and great. And help us to name. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We have to get to that place. Lord, I surrender all. I'm not holding back anything from you, Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this morning. Thank you that we are able to come here this morning and feast at your table. Lord, I just thank you for keeping us, for shielding us, for protecting us. Lord, allow us to know that you are our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon-coming King, that you are our healer, you are our shepherd, the one who leads and guides us, the ones who tell us where to go and what to do. We ask today, O God, that you would have mercy upon us, that you would continue to extend your love towards us, O God, that when we are feeling weak and we are feeling tired, that you would give us the strength that we need to sustain us, O God. Father, we pray today for those that are coming on the line even right now. We pray that, Lord God, that you strengthen them, give them the endurance, O God, to continue on to the end. O Father, we ask your mercy today. Lord, we are in a serious dilemma all over the world. Nations and continents are facing serious dilemmas, O God. But we know, O God, that you are in charge. It doesn't matter what the enemy is trying to do or cause the people to do. You are still in charge. Father, we ask today that you bless us to hear, bless us to see, and bless us to do. Lord, for we need not to be just hearers of the word, but we want to be and need to be doers of the word. Thank you for blessing Apostle Washington and Bishop Washington, O God, to continue, stand fast, unremovable, abounding in your truth, O God. Father, we pray for Apostle Ronnie Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. Pray, O God, that the members that has traveled to different cities to work will return back to the city so they can stay and fellowship, O God. We pray for Brother Deacon Fraser. Strengthen them, Lord, and give them a desire to seek your face, to search your word like the Berean church, O God, daily. Not to wait to hear from a preacher, a prophet, a bishop, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, but he goes into your word for himself and hear from you by his spirit. Father, we pray today, Lord, that as you touch our lips and our eyes of clear, that we would see and hear and speak your truth, O God, that it would be none of me but all of you, Lord. Lead me through these pages, O God, that I can see and hear what you are saying, O God, by your spirit. For your word declare that not by power, not by might, but by your spirit, save the Lord. We pray for Apostle Millie Jefferson and her sister, brother-in-law, her daughter and grandson, and all those that are connected to her and family, Lord, that they might draw closer to you, Lord. We pray today, Lord God, that you continue doing in her life what you're doing, Lord. Give her strength, Lord. She needs your strength, Lord. She's just a little petite person, oh God, but Lord, she does more than she's able to do, should be able to do. She presses herself, oh God, to do. We ask today that you give her the strength, Lord. Strengthen her heart, all her heart muscles and her arteries, that the blood flow freely, Lord. And Lord, give her a mind to say, well, when to slow down and when to depend completely on you to lead her. You know, we all, from time to time, oh God, we go off on our own to do what we want to do. But I pray today that you strengthen her in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless this word. Your word that the Lord gave us is already blessed. And we want to talk today about Yahweh gives the assignments. You know, a lot of people are running off with their own assignment, what they want to do. But the right assignment is the assignment that comes from Yahweh, from God himself. When he tells us what to do, that's what we ought to do. So we want to talk about the assignment. As I was looking through the prophets, and I've seen that this particular prophet that I love so much, I love Jeremiah too, but this is one of the prophets that I really, really, really love, is Ezekiel. Because he was one that really walked in the pureness of who God called him to be. And as I was studying him, I realized that God always referred to him not by his name. He always called him the Son of Man. The Son of Man, because he wasn't the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of God. And he responded to him. He said, "And you, Son of Man, take for yourself," Ezekiel chapter 5, "a sword sharp as a barber's razor. Take it for yourself, and you must cause it to pass over your head and over your beard, and you must take for yourself a set of scales for weighing, and you must divide them. A third you must burn with fire in the midst of the city at the completion of the days of the siege. And you must take a third, and you must strike it with the sword around it, and a third you must scatter to the wind. And you must draw a sword behind them." No. God is here talking about division. And he is telling the prophet that you must lay out a plan, because the city, Jerusalem, Judah, all the people has become so wicked and has defiled themselves, the temple of God. And God is give Ezekiel this vision of what he must do. And the way he orchestrate this plan with his hair from the crown of his head is going to be the very things that action that God is going to take against the people. Now we looking at the United States of America as we look at these books, the prophetic books. You may not see the name America in the pages, but as you look at the things that are happening in the world and in America, and you're reading the prophets, the books of the prophets, you can see America is centerfold. It's center because we are doing the very same thing that God spoke about in these books. He said, "You must take from these a few in number, and you must tuck them in your hem, the hem of his garments. And from them again you shall take some, and you must throw them in the middle of the fire, and you must burn them with fire. From it a fire will go out to all the house of Israel." Now see this. The very thing that Ezekiel is doing is going to come against Israel. This is why God is calling for us as his people to really pray, really pray. Let's look at this in the book of, in the NLT. "Son of man, take a sharp sword and use it as a razor to shave your head and beard. Use a scale to weigh the hair into three equal parts. Place a third of it at the center of your map of Jerusalem. After acting out the siege, burn it there, scatter another third across your map and chop it with a sword. Scatter the last third to the wind, for I will scatter the people with the sword." The people are wicked, I says. He says, just keep a bit of the hair and tie it up in your robe. Then take some of these hairs out and throw them into the fire, burning them up. A fire will then spread from the remnant and destroy all Israel. This is what God, the assignment that God has given to the prophet. The word today is Yahweh gives the assignment. See, we must never move unless we hear God say move. We must never do a thing until we hear God say. I practice this a lot of times. I'm here and my family want to go somewhere. Like now they plan to go to a concert in Washington, D.C. because when my son gets home, and a concert with Bonnie Raitt. When I was younger and I was smoking and drinking, I still love Bonnie Raitt music. But I'm not moved by that type of stuff because it was rock and roll music, and I used to smoke weed and drink all the stuff. So, you know, that all go together. So now they're pressing me. My daughter-in-law wants to get the tickets. I said, well, you know, my spirit is not moved to go to this thing. You know, it's not moved. I'm going to see my son to spend some time with my son when he get home. But I see my granddaughter, but I'm not moved to go to no concert like that. That's not my assignment. My assignment is not for that foolishness. As much as I love reggae music, I love reggae now, the gospel music, but I'm not led to go to no regular worldly reggae concert. You know, I'm not led to go to it because people are going to be smoking marijuana, snorting dope and all that kind of stuff, and I'm not into that stuff. But he said to Ezekiel, he said that a fire will then spread from the remnant and destroy all Israel. This is what the sovereign Lord says. This is an illustration of what will happen to Jerusalem. I place her at the center of the nations. No. You see here in America, everybody says America, we always hear all these different countries say, well, America is the most powerful nation on earth. And everybody looks for her as an example. Other countries look to her as an example. But when the nation looked to America now, for an example, what they see, that we have a president that don't know his head from his feet. He doesn't know what to say. He gets on television and he's mumbling all, don't know what to say, what to do. So he's not a true world leader, you know. And a matter of fact, he's leading the world in a destructive direction. So God is not pleased with us. He's not pleased with us. We turn and say, people, I say to the people, it is okay because it's your own body. You can have as many abortions as you need. It's okay. Now people are stabbing people, and he set up the courts. The courts are set up now that the DOJs and stuff, they're not locking people up. People are stabbing people and killing people, and they're getting a slap on the wrist and come back. They're not charged for sinning. So, glory to God, but they're trying to hinder you from preaching. They're trying to hinder you from preaching the true gospel that will convict people to turn to Christ. You can't say certain things that say it's offensive to this person or that person. When people are sinning and you preach against sin, the sin that they're any sin, they say it's offensive because you can't talk about this sect or that sect. It's in the Bible. You can't talk about it. And then they want to change the word of God to suit their lifestyles, the lifestyle of the people that are living contrary to God. So he said, but she has rebelled against my regulations and decrees and has been even more wicked than the surrounding nations. Now you know how our nations is always trying to be judgmental to all the other nations that were coming up short. And now we become worse than most of the nations. We become worse. Israel was the same way, and we are the same way. Same way back then, 7,000 years back then, the prophet is speaking, and the same word is is manifesting now, because we're seeing these things are happening right in our face. And the preachers and the churches and the temples and synagogues and all these places, like the leaders, the rabbis and the pastors and the apostles and all of them, they're going to a deep sleep. Because they will not preach against sin. They find it very difficult to preach against sin. Sin now has become a lollipop, a candy bar, a cup of ice cream to these preachers. Sin has become that. So it didn't affect them anymore. They said, well, that's okay. Oh, they're doing their own thing. As long as it doesn't affect me, as long as it doesn't come to my house, as long as it don't touch my grandson or my granddaughter or my great-grandchildren, I'm not worried about it. Let them people enjoy themselves. And God has given you a sword. He has given you a trumpet. You must wave the sword and you must sound the trumpet. But we're not sounding the trumpet. Most of them are not sounding the trumpet. They're just playing in the same band. They're playing in the same group. They say it's okay. These are very nice people. Oh, these are very nice people. They tell you. They said, these are very nice people. Oh, they don't trouble nobody. They're just doing their own thing. They don't trouble anybody, but they're leading others. Others are following them, and others are getting involved in the same sexual promiscuity, I think it is. I can't pronounce the word right, but they say they're indulging in the same sex lifestyle, impure lifestyle, and they're leading other people to come over to your house and start talking to your grandson or your granddaughter and say, tell them it's okay to do this, to do that. Even some of the teachers are telling them that in some of the schools. No. So he says, he has refused to obey, verse 6, the regulation and decrees I give her to follow. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You people have behaved worse than your neighbors and have refused to obey my decrees and regulations. You have not even lived up to the standards of the nations around you. Now, we are become judgmental. We are talking against other nations. I was looking at how America has been speaking against the Russians. I'm not for Russia. I'm not for the Ukrainians. And I'm not for the American administration. I am for God. Hear me out. I love America. Don't get me wrong. Somebody might go and say, well, he don't love America. He's American. Why don't he go back to the Caribbean? No, I love America. I've been here 40 plus, almost 50 years. But what happened is we are like the man, the brother that tried to take the smoke out of his brother's eye while he has a beam in his eye. We are condemning and judging other nations while we are doing worse than them. First thing that we have to do is, as a nation, the leaders, the administration, the churches, all people leaders, all we need to do is we need to go back and we have to repent before the Lord God of Israel, before the sovereign God. And I know people say, well, I've been to the synagogue, I went to the temple, I went to the mass, and all this stuff, and I took Holy Communion, and I repent. Oh, you said nice words, how you sound so profound when you was talking, but you repent, and it sound good. And all the congregational members agree with you and say, oh, well, you said Pastor so-and-so was at the altar, and he was crying, she was crying, oh, she repent. But the action does not speak out. It does not speak repentance. Hallelujah. We talk against one nation, and we come up and doing the same thing as the other nation did, and even worse. Repentance means turning away. It's not what I say, it's what I do. So this nation, all nations, need to really stop treating other nations like they're dogs, like they're cats. and we put ourselves on a pedestal, be the super nation. But in reality, we are demonic, satanic nation. And God is not pleased with us. He's not pleased with our action. And the hand of God is going to move upon this country like never before. The only reason that we are not seeing the damnation or the wrath of God upon this nation is because it's still got some few good people in this nation that are praying and seeking God's face for this nation. Remember, Abraham asked God, if you see a few people, if you see 40 people in this city, will you destroy? If you see 10 people, will you still? God said, if I see 10 people, if I could find 10, I wouldn't destroy this city. Couldn't find 10 righteous people in this city. But we have more than 10 righteous people. People that are truly living for God in this country. That's the only reason that we have not seen the wrath of God upon this nation yet. But it's coming. Because they're getting worse and worse. And a lot of the leaders and preachers and prayer warriors are becoming relaxed and sitting down and saying nothing and doing nothing. He says, therefore I myself, verse 8, the sovereign Lord, am now your enemy. God becomes the enemy of the United States. We are going to experience the wrath of the United States. I will punish you publicly while all the nations watch. Listen to God. They don't want you to preach the truth. They don't want you to testify. They don't want you to talk against sin. But God said you got to go tell them. He told Ezekiel, go down to the city. And when we switch back, we're going to go backwards. Because I'm teaching from the right to the left today instead of from the left to the right. Because that's how the Jewish people read the book. They read from the right side to the left. We read from the left to the right. We're going to go to chapter 4 because I want to show you how what God took Ezekiel, how God gave him an assignment that lead up to where we are right now. And the assignment is for the United States of America, not just for Israel. It's for the whole world. He says, because your detestable idols, I will punish you like I have never punished anyone before. Or ever will again. See, we know we got men and men walking down the streets in the main cities, in New York City, California, Washington, D.C., Florida, Boston, Massachusetts, Texas, Mississippi, New Orleans, all these main cities, the main cities where big statues are of some administrative leader are in the center square. You have all of this homosexual and lesbianism and all of this pedophile and sex trafficking going on. And they're worshiping other gods. You think the sovereign God is pleased with this stuff? No, I come to tell you today he's not pleased because his word says so. He's not pleased. He says, because of your detestable idols, I will punish you like I have never punished anyone before or ever will again. Parents will eat their own children. Listen to God. Through the prophet. He said parents will eat their own children. That means famine is coming. Famine is going to be so heavy in the land that there's not going to be any food. Because God is going to hold back the rain just like in Elijah's time. People will eat their own babies, their own children, and children will eat their parents. I will punish you and scatter you to the winds, the few who survive. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I will cut you off completely. I will show you no pity at all because you have defiled my temple with your vile images and detestable sins. God is not pleased. You have church buildings today. I can talk about our city. I can't talk about your city. Because I've been through your city. But in our city, we got churches here, church buildings here, that invite men and women. You understand what I'm saying? lesbians and homosexuals come and go into those buildings holding hands like they're husband and wife. They call themselves husband and wife, woman and woman, man and man, kissing and all that stuff. And they're not afraid to show themselves that they are married. They want to change the law that God said in the Garden of Eden. When he told the man he should not be, it's not good for a man to be alone. God spoke that. And he created a woman out of the sight of a man from a rib on the underneath his left arm next to his heart. That man would love his wife as he loved himself. Today they don't have a desire. Most of the men today don't have a desire for another, for a woman, but they have a desire for another man. In Hollywood, they put it up on the TV. They make the movies. It starts in Hollywood to show you. Everybody's going into everybody's house. It's on the big screen. Many people don't go to the big screen order because it comes straight to your house. And Netflix and YouTube and Periscope and all of these different things. It comes in your house, on your computer, on your cell phone. So it looks like it is okay. Everybody's accepting this deceptive, detestable abomination. Everybody's accepting it from the White House to the outhouse. They're accepting it. You have one man in the White House. He is a doctor. And he's got people working for him. And he sanctioned homosexualism, lesbianism. This is okay. God says they have created this detestable thing right before his eyes. And he's going to destroy. He said a third of your people will die in the city from disease and famine. Do you hear what God said? First, I want you to see this. God said they have defiled his temple with the vile images and detestable things. That's verse 11. Verse 12 says, a third of your people will die in the city from disease and famine. A third of them will be slaughtered by the enemy outside the city walls. This is every place that Ezekiel put here from his head. It's three parts of his here that he distributed. And I will scatter a third to the winds, chasing them with my sword. Then at last my anger will be spent, and I will be satisfied. And then, and when my fury against them has subsided, all Israel will know that I, the Lord, have spoken to them in my jealous anger. He said, so I will turn you into a ruin, a mockery in the eyes of the surrounding nations and to all who pass by. You see, when we turn against God and we reject God's way of living, God make us to become a mockery. People just hiss about us. Well, I taught them with people that were serving the sovereign God. You'll find the sin of man, when we think that they're not watching us and we start to sin like them. They say, well, I thought he really was a man of God. I thought she really was a woman of God. When you start to slip into darkness, like the songwriter says, they begin to point out your flaws. They say, I thought she was. Don't you think they're watching us? Surely they're watching us. They're watching us. They see, when I go to this house, my neighbors look at me. They know when I'm going to do a job. When I put on my priest collar, they know I'm going to somebody's church. So they watch me how when I'm outside with my family. They watch me. They watch you too. People know that you are a servant of the Most High God. And you can't get outside the house and be arguing, and even in the house arguing loud enough for somebody to hear you from outside, because why? They judge you on what they hear and what they see. They judge us on what they hear. He says, so I will turn you into a ruin and mockery in the eyes of the surrounding nations and to all who pass by. So America is bankrupt, but they're still printing money. They're still printing money because the taxpayer must pay their bill. It must pay the administration's bill. Do you know that? That's why everything is going up. Everything is going higher and higher because they got they're raising taxes on all the oil and gas and electricity. Everything is going up. Why? Because they keep writing checks and sending money to all of these people. That man over there in Ukraine, they say his wife was just found in Poland with millions of dollars, United States taxpayers' money, in suitcases. But the media is not telling you that, the fake media is not telling you that stuff. We, the money, even when I'm retired, I still pay taxes. They still take taxes out. And we got to pay for that. He's bringing people from all nations. People from all nations that are going into the hotels. We paying for them to stay in the hotels. Listen. No. He said, then, listen. Ooh, glory to God. Then at last my anger will be spent. Now, verse 14. So I will turn you into a ruin. Verse 15. You will become an object of mockery and taunting and horror. You will be a warning to all the nations around you. They will see what happens when the Lord punishes a nation in anger and rebuke it, says the Lord. See, people are going to see what it's like to suffer under the wrath of God. You think you've seen wrath. You haven't seen anything yet. I will shower you with the deadly arrows of famine and destroy you. The famine will become more and more severe until every crumb of food is gone. They said, yeah, there was reading on the news to say you ought to start stocking your house, your home, your freezer, your refrigerator, your cupboards. Because it's the food in the supermarkets, the grocery stores are getting less and less. It's right here in the book of Ezekiel. He said, and along with the famine, wild animals will attack you and rob you of your children. Disease and war will stalk your land. And I will bring the sword of the enemy against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Let's go to chapter 4. Watch and see what the Lord says. A sign of the coming siege. Now, in chapter 5, there's siege. But let me show you here. Here in chapter 4. He said, and now, son of man, take a large clear brick and set it down in front of you. Then draw a map of the city of Jerusalem on it. He's telling the prophet. He's giving the prophet the assignment. Remember, the word is Yahweh gives the assignment. The assignment. So he's telling the prophet to draw a map of Jerusalem on clay there. Show the city on the seas. Build a wall around it so no one can escape. Set up the enemy camp and surround the city with siege ramps and battering rams. He said he's drawing and making this symbol of the nation and of the enemies that will come against the nation. It's all on this clay dirt that Ezekiel is like a sculpture. He's making this sculpture of the land, Jerusalem. People, little people. He's making little people. And all this stuff like he's making. He said, then take an iron griddle and place it between you and the city. Turn toward the city and demonstrate how harsh the siege will be against Jerusalem. This will be a warning to the people of Israel. Now lie on your left side and place the sins of Israel on your side, yourself. You are to bear their sins for the number of days you lie there on your side. Now, when I'm looking at this chapter 4 of Ezekiel, you see that these people have been sinning for a long time. Almost 400 years, these people have been sinning. Because he said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel must bear their sins. He said, I am requiring, remember, Yahweh, the assignment. He said, I'm requiring you to bear Israel's sins for 390 days. One day for every year of their sins. So that means they were sinning for almost 400 years. But Ezekiel now has to write the sins and put them on his side and lay on that side. I can imagine that laying. We can't even lay down for 7 days. We can't even stay in fasting and praying for 21 days, for 40 days. But he said to Ezekiel, you got to lay on your side, this left side, for 390 days, a day for every year of their sin. In the verse 6 says, after that, turn over and lie on your right side for 40 days. One day for each year of Judah's sin. So Israel sinned more than Judas. Meanwhile, keep staring at the siege of Jerusalem. Lie there with your arm bare and prophesy her destruction. Ezekiel has formulated this statue. He had taken the clay dirt as the Lord had given him instructions, and he had formed on the clay dirt that he made into a mold or a monument. It was just like the city of Jerusalem. And he had made little people like the people in Jerusalem. And then he had made people like the enemy that's coming against Jerusalem. And he was prophesying against Jerusalem and Judah just like the people was right there walking. And he had made this wall again between him, calling the griddle, between him and the city so that he wouldn't get hurt. God will protect you. When God give you assignment, God will protect you as you go. But watch what he says. He says to Ezekiel, after that, turn over and lie on your right side for 40 days, one day for each year of Judah's sin. Meanwhile, keep staring at the siege of Jerusalem. Lie there with your arm bare and prophesy her destruction. I will tie you up with ropes so you won't be able to turn from side to side until the days of her siege have been complete. See, when God wants something done, God is not like man that he going to stand and look on. God is going to be a part of what you're doing. God, when God give you a ministry, when God has sent you out to do a ministry, it doesn't care who come against you. God will stand with you. God will stand with you to make sure that what he given you, the assignment that he's given to you, to us, be fulfilled. God is not going to let no witch or warlock or soothsayer or juju worker come against you and destroy you or hinder the assignment. The assignment that God gave to us must be fulfilled. He told Ezekiel, now go and get some wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, emmer wheat, and mix them together in a storage jar. Use them to make bread for yourself during the 390 days you will be lying on your side. He said, ration them out to yourself In other words, he tells Ezekiel, don't you eat too much at one time. Don't eat too much at one time, because why? God said he's bringing a famine on the land. There's a famine coming. So God says to Ezekiel, go and get all of this stuff and store it up. And make some bread. Hallelujah. We are buying stuff and putting it in the freezer. Because it said this stuff is happening. People are running around because they got a little money. They're running here, running there, running there, get gas, driving here, driving there, driving. They're not paying attention to how things are shortening. They're not paying attention. And it's going to come sudden that all of a sudden, you can't find this, you can't find that. Listen to what he says. He said, ration out to yourself 8 ounces of food for each day and eat it at set times. Hear what he's saying. Then measure out a jar of water for each day and drink it at set times. God saying, don't you go guzzling down the food. Don't you go guzzling down the water. Don't waste it. Hallelujah. Because everything's going to, see, there's not going to be a lot of rain. And reservoirs going to get low. And they're going to begin to tell us, like I know we happen here in Boston a lot. They tell you sometimes, they say, well, you can only wash your car on certain days, or you can only water your lawn on certain days. And then sometimes they say you can't wash your car. You got to go to the car wash. And then the car wash has to reuse the water. They use a recycling machine that the water that washes your car washes my car. And my water that washes my car washes somebody's car. It goes through a recycling because they can't waste the water. And he's going back to that. Listen to what he says. Prepare and eat this food as you would barley cake. While all the people were watching, bake it over a fire using dry human down as fuel, and then eat the bread. No. Ezekiel got all. Bend on the ship. Ezekiel says, you can imagine God tends to get some human doo-doo, dry human doo-doo, and bake your cake, your nice pound cake, your nice banana bread. You understand what I'm saying? On, you know, when you start to burn human waste, it's still going to smell like human waste. And Ezekiel says, then the Lord says, this is how Israel will eat defiled bread in the Gentiles' land, to which I will banish them. We don't want God to banish us. We want to be in sync with God. We want to be in obedience with God. When we disobey God, we are sad. We become candidates to be sent somewhere else that we don't want to go. We don't need to go. But we'll end up going when we're disobedient. He says to this, then I said, O sovereign Lord, must I be defiled by using human down? For I have never been defiled before. For from the time I was a child until now, I have never eaten any animal that died of sickness or was killed by other animals. I have never eaten any meat forbidden by the law. Ezekiel now don't want to make no cake. I have been cook with human waste, because the cake now becomes defiled. The waste, that's why it's called waste, human waste. It's not to be cooked with anymore. So Ezekiel begin to plead with God. He said, look, I've always lived a life that was pleasing to you. I've always walked in my righteousness, holiness unto you. This is what Ezekiel is saying to God. We got to get to a place that we can really take our complaint to God. Because we have made a decision to live and walk upright before God. We are not compromising our walk or stance for God. God has given us an assignment. And the devil is destined to hinder us from fulfilling our assignment. Hallelujah. Work come, you got to go to work. Children acting up, husband acting up, wife acting up. The manager wants you to work overtime. Somebody want to give you a job that you know you can make enough money to, and you think you're helping God. God don't need your help. God gives an assignment. God's going to help us. He's going to supply all our needs. That's why that when I'm out there, even when I'm out there working, trying to make some money to help this, to help the ministry, what happened is I'm not happy. I'm disgusted. I'm frustrated because I want to get everything done like yesterday. You know, before I start, I want to get the job over with. Because I know that I'm not fulfilling my assignment. You know? So, we have to be very careful. Because Satan is very shrewd. He's cunning. He's subtle. And he has to do anything to hinder us from fulfilling our assignment. But if they can begin to plead with God, he begin to plead with God. I'm telling you, people of God, somebody here would know. He tells God that God don't know. God knows what you do. But he's bringing back the word of God before God. That's what he's doing. And he said to the Lord, I have never eaten any meat forbidden by the law. He said, all right, the Lord said, you may bake your bread with cow down instead of human down. Then he told me, son of man, I will make food very scarce in Jerusalem. It will be weighed out with great care and eaten fearfully. The water will be rushing out drop by drop, and the people will drink it with dismay. Lacking food and water, people will look at one another in terror, and they will waste away under their punishment. You think God ain't going to do this thing? Because people are sitting around. They're still driving around with their sports cars and all this stuff. And they say, well, I'm not worried about what's going on. That's what the people says. I'm not worried about what's going on. I'm okay. They say that out. You hear them talking. They say, I'm not worried about what's going on. I'm okay. We can say, in a sense, I'm not worried because God has my back. You know, God is covering me in the railroad, and he got angels going ahead of me. He has given his angels charge over us. But in the same way, we have to be praised because God don't want anyone's souls to perish. So we have to get up, and we got to make sure that we put a word out there that convict the people. When they hear it, they don't have no choice but say, man, you know, God is talking about me. God is talking about me, and God's talking to me. I got to do something different to what I've been doing. I haven't been living the way God says to be living, you know. So they're going to make adjustments. But if we're just doing things to please the people, guess what happened? We're not pleasing God. And we got to get back to that place in our walk where we're pleasing God. We got to live this life to please God. Got to understand that in this Bible, when you study this Bible, everything that you see is happening right now is in the Bible. It's not somewhere in a far city on a wall. It's in the Bible. It's right here for us to see. And the time is coming that you see they're changing the Bibles all the time. They keep changing the word. They're taking out certain things out of the word. So when you reach that way, you're not got to study so many different Bibles. Because even the King James Bible, they're taking this thing and they're dissecting this Bible, taking it out. Say, no, that doesn't sound like us. And then they say, well, that don't really sound like a real God. Why would a loving God put such judgment inside the Bible? Well, he's a loving God, but he's also a God of justice. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of wrath. Hallelujah. He pities. He loves. He's compassionate. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. But he's also a God of wrath. He's not going to tolerate the suffering where we start to turn away from him and start worshiping different entities. And we say, well, I'm going to worship this because if I do this, I'm going to get rich. You got people, you know, they fired one man there in Hollywood. They fired a man from Hollywood because they wouldn't give him no work because he was all about Jesus. And now the Lord put it in a way now. The Lord put it in a way when he made the movie, The Passion of the Christ, which says, they said that movie show about Jesus' crucifixion, broke all the records in movie making history. and know they're making the secret to it. The secret supports will come out next year. And I tell the truth that they wouldn't let that man work in Hollywood because he didn't shortcut. I mean, stuff that they wanted him to cut out, they didn't want him to put into the movie. They didn't want him to say some things they didn't want him to say that he ended up saying them anyway. You know, because Hollywood only wants you to say certain things that edify Hollywood. But when it comes to edifying Christ, the Savior, the Lord, they don't want you to say it. And Gavizzo, they say, well, man, he was so on point. I mean, everything that was in the Bible is what he was saying. He didn't play with it. So they come up with a sequel now. And I said, Lord, let me live long enough to see that. I want to see that sequel. It's so important that we represent Christ with everything that's within us. Don't compromise the word of God. That's what I'm saying this morning. Don't compromise the word of God. Make sure that you stand for truth, you live for truth, you die for truth. No matter what nobody say, what nobody do, live for truth. Put the truth out there because it's the only thing that's going to keep us free. It's the only thing that's going to keep us adhering to God and be able to hear what God's saying. And we live the truth and abide by the truth, the word of God. Ezekiel, you know, if you look through the Bible, you know he's the only one I saw that far. I got to look a little further that God refers to him as the Son of Man. Never call his name. Never called his name, you know. God called it for Jeremiah, but he called for Isaiah. But he called this prophet, the Son of Man. As I was studying him out, and the Bible said that he was a very elite prophet, and he was between the elite of the prophets. And whoever you know that was a great prophet in time past, Ezekiel was there. Ezekiel was there because he was a person that did exactly what God said. He did not compromise the word of God for 1 minute. He lived. This is why he could go back to God and say that from a child, I have never eaten any animal that died of sickness or was killed by any other animal. He said, I have never eaten any meat forbidden by the law. He said what he's saying to God. If God said not to do it, he never did it. If God said don't do it, he never did it. He said, I stay according to the law. I stay according to God's word. The law is the schoolmaster. He said, so I stay according to the schoolmaster. What the schoolmaster said to me is what I did. He said, I didn't compromise. And then God changed to don't use human waste, but use the animal waste, the cows, the cow dung. But the Israelites would use human waste from the Gentiles. This is just to make them shame, to shame them for their sin. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you've given us today. And we ask you, I know you have already blessed the airwaves. We ask, God, that you continue to bless us to hear, to see and to do, Lord God. We thank you for Apostle Washington here with us and Bishop Washington here with us today. Not a lot of people come on today, but we thank God it's not about the people. It's about getting the word on the computer because it's amazing how many people go back and listen after we have turned off and turned in and post the message. There's so much stuff is going on, and that's why we got to stay abreast of the word. We got to make sure that we get the word up. You know, I know some people get depressed and say if they don't say 10 people on the line or 8 people or 6 people or 7 people, they get depressed. Now, I don't get depressed on that stuff. If I still preach like if there was 8 people on the line, you know, Minister Onde will not be here on Saturday. This is her weekend. She sent me a message yesterday before. She says, the Lord is working with her because she shared on the line she had so many problems coming from her brother and her sister-in-law, you know, that not so much the sister-in-law, but her brother, you know, calling her names, calling out her names and all that kind of stuff because he don't, you know, certain things he says, but she said it all. I don't have to say it. But the Lord has been dealing. She said she didn't want to deal with them. But the Lord has been dealing with her. You know, as believers in the Lord, the sovereign Lord, we cannot allow a family member, friend, stop us from loving them the way the Lord loves us. I always say that I love people who mistreat me. But that don't mean I'm going to all you can eat with them. But you still got to love them. Amen. You know what I'm saying? You still got to love them. You know, I'm not going movies with you. You know, I'm not going to the movies with you. I'm not coming to your house at the cookout. I'm telling you right now, but I still love you. I'm still going to pray for your health. I'm praying for your wealth, all that stuff. But I'm not going, Apostle. I'm not going with them. You know, so she said, well, the Lord's been dealing with her. You know, that's her family, her brother. And she couldn't see her niece and stuff like that. So she said, well, Apostle, her sister-in-law invite her to come to the birthday party for the little child. You know, I told her, I said, no, you got to go. You can't let them people put you in jail because you're in jail. When you hold that stuff in your heart, what they say to you about you, you in jail. They're free. You know, when them people come and tell you, oh, you this, you that, you that, you say, I'm dealing with her. I'm going to give her peace of my mind. Like some of these folk come on here and say that stuff, dumb stuff, and they think there's something real eloquent. I'm going to give her peace of my mind. No. You ain't getting a peace of mind. You're going to be messed up because you ain't got all your mind. You keep giving that boy a piece of your mind. No, pray for that person. Go and celebrate with your niece. And if your brother still wants to be in prison, let him be in prison. You don't have to be in prison. And if you get a chance, I said, brother, you know, I love you. You said, brother, I love you and I forgive you. And if he don't want to forgive, because he said he never going to forgive her for some foolishness that he did. And I said, well, you still tell him. He said, I forgive you, brother. I forgive you. You know, I love you because you're my brother. Because why? You are a child of God. And the love of God must manifest through us. If it don't manifest, we're going to manifest through the sinner man. If God not be seen through, who is going to see through the sinner man? No. The devil's going to be seen through the sin of man. Only thing God got in this earth, friend, is the saints to represent him. So we represent him by showing love, compassion, mercy, and grace. He said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. And this is how people are going to see him. When we exude love and kindness to other people, especially when they take our money and don't pay us back, we're still loving them. We're not going to sleep at the nighttime saying, well, this body robbed me out of $2,000, and I'm not going to love them no more. I'm going to hurt them and do that. So, no. You feel like when you was back home, when you was back before you were saved, you feel like you want to hurt them. Oh, but you said, Lord, I thank you for being saved. Thank you for saving me and taking away that stuff out of my heart that make me want to take somebody's life or take a limb off of somebody, Lord. Lord, I thank you. You begin to praise God. Guess what happened? Angels begin to rejoice because they realize that you are being changed. You have been renewed. You're changing every day. This is what God say. You know, God look at Israel and Judah and Jerusalem, and God told Ezekiel, he said, look, I'm going to use you here as a symbol. He said, I'm going to use you here as a symbol to divide them, to scatter them all over the world, and I'm going to destroy so many thousands upon thousands of them going to die. God used a man of God. He said, son of man, get a razor. Shave your head. In 3 parts, I want you to distribute these parts, and I'm going to treat Israel, Jerusalem, Judah for their abomination, for their detestable sin against me, rejecting me and worshiping other idols, worshiping other gods. God don't want us to worship no other god. He wants us to worship the sovereign God, the only true God. There are many gods in the earth. If you go to India, they got 138 million different gods. They got a god for every doggone thing. I'm telling you, everything they got a god for. In Africa, they got a lot of gods. Don't think they only worship Jesus. They got all kind of gods because you know what they do? They take on the European gods. The Europeans used to worship a lot of different gods. And once they got into Africa, the Africans start worshiping the European gods. They got a lot of different gods. Believe what I'm telling you. They got a lot of different gods. And the Africans start take on that same mindset because the Europeans seemed like they were prospering. Listen to me. They seemed like they were prospering. Remember when I told you about the friend of mine that lived in District of Columbia, Maryland, and I lived when I was living in Washington, D.C. area, and I went to his house. He was from our country, and Winston was his name. I forgot his name last time. I just come to me. Winston Harding. Yes, I remember. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. And I went to his house. He had they called him a Ganja. That thing on a little box on the wall, which is supposed to be the altar for Buddha. And they got a little Buddha, a little big belly, a statue inside the altar, and a little incense holder. And they were burned the incense that looked like a pyramid in there. And I could see this man buying all these houses and cars and stuff. And I started going there and worshiping with them in the evening, knowing I was raised up in the Episcopal Church, which, you know, all the churches was on the Roman Catholic. But remember, I told you all before that I wasn't baptized until I come to America. They called it baptism over there in the Caribbean, but I was sprinkled in the Caribbean. But I got baptized when I came here. I went down the water. Yes, the bishop, very bishop that ordained me and made me a pastor in the church, he put me down the water. I went down a white robe. And then I got baptized again in the Apostolic Church. I mean, I just was running in that church in Virginia. I got baptized 2 times in America. Yes, yes, I did. So glory to God. So, but, man, I tell you,
amen.
Glory to God, lost that train of thought. But you got to get to that place, man, where you really let go of everything and let God, because we are changing. We are not changed completely yet. We are changing. You know, this is an everyday thing. That's why the Lord put in my spirit. And a couple of weeks ago that I was saying, you know, I know Bishop, we do his prayer of salvation. You always talk about repent from Acts 2:38. But the Lord says, you know, a lot of people, and I've seen it over the years too. I've seen it being part of the church business, because it's a business, you know. Church is a business. Not we are ministry. But most of these churches out there in this world that we are seeing is a business. It's about making money. That's why they sell fried chicken, they sell hot dogs and hamburgers in the summertime. They have all this stuff. It's a business. They have a kitchen in the church, and they cook food to sell. Okay? They don't cook food to give to the poor. They cook food to sell to make money. It's a business. And they tell the pastors, they don't tell the congregation this, but when they come to they call it the government, the church government, then the deacons and the elders and all of them come together, they have the meeting, the church meeting. They say, well, you know, it's a business. We're here to make money. I thought it was this to win souls. I've been in the church meeting, and the pastor said, you know, this is a business. We're here to make money, and we're not making enough money. And I said, my God. The bishop says, we're here to make money, and we're not making enough money. And I said to myself, I thought we was here to win souls. God said he would supply our needs. But we got to get to this place. I'm telling you, people, that according to the book of Ezekiel, in these 66 books that we are studying, We got to make sure that we are doing what God said do. God given us an assignment, and we got to release it, release that assignment. You know, I don't know what's going on in my body. I was listening last night to a scientist say it on YouTube, and they said that when you get to 70, as you get in your 70s, that your body begin to experience all types of pains and ailments and all kind of stuff. But, Apostle, I need you to pray for me today, because I got this. I've been carrying this strange pain. Apostle, I'm not lying to you. Honey asked me yesterday. She said, "Where's the muscle? You can't feel that. I can't feel no bump or nothing, no lump or nothing in the side of my neck there, the left side, coming right up over my shoulder into the left side of my neck there, right? You know." And I tell you, it's a serious pain. And I'm trying everything, doing everything. I'm using a lot of different herbs, but it's not going anywhere. I just pray. I had to rebuke that booger. I rebuke it the other day. Hand is good now with the hand. I ain't got no more pain in the hand, but the left side of my neck there, man, is just like I had to put some Vicks on it last night, and then I put the heating pad on last night. It felt good for a while, and now this morning again it started back. But I said, devil, you're a liar. You're going to stop me from bringing a message today. You know, so, but we thank God for you all. I thank God for you all and I sent you a message yesterday called I was so tired. I had to go over to the house. And now I got to go back over there Saturday morning because I went and break down the stuff and I didn't find no problem. And it has a computer. All this system has computers on them that if there's a problem going on, it usually tells you what the problem is. There's no code coming up on the system. So I sent her a message. She sent me, the pastor didn't let me know what's going on. So I sent her a message tomorrow. So I pulled the system down and cleaned it, and that should have fixed the problem. But I said, the water come out nice and hot and fast, and then it slowed down. Still be hot, but then the pressure slowed down. So I believe as the three-way valve, it got a three-way valve built in the system. Maybe got some stuff in it or something because the computer's not saying that it's defected. But I might have to take it out, and then I call the manufacturer because the whole system is still on the warranty. You know, and I let her know there's nothing that I did. because all of my work is up to par. He said, no, no, no problem, Apostle. I know you did everything correctly, but it's the system. I said, I know that. I just wanted to let you know because people get frustrated. You know, the front is still working. She got good heat and everything. It's just the hot water is not, pressure is not. She got hot water today, but it's not up to par, you know, strong pressure. But we're going to get it. We're going to get it there by the help of the Holy Spirit. We're going to get it there because we never doubt God. So, Bishop, if you're there, my brother, my friend, you can come on in and do the prayer of salvation. We don't have a lot of people on the line today, but we don't mind. We got the word up. We are grateful for God allowing us to get this word out today.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to
you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Apostle, for the message.
Amen.
I noticed stuff months ago with the weather. So, yeah, I should have been a meteorologist. But I like to keep up on current events and the weather and things like that. So I don't know what's going on around the world, not only here in America, but there's so many different things. Like I said before, growing up in New Orleans, I never seen a tornado until like last year sometime, I think it was. We had two of them within inside of a week and a half. Two tornadoes, never before. You know, I say earthquakes in diverse places. All I got to do is read the word and think about what you read. You know, God put it there, and He told us what was going to happen. So we just got to, you know, pay attention. And he's going to store things up. You know, there was a pastor telling us this just last year sometime. You know, hey, start putting stuff, or as you use the term, put it back. But the story is what you were saying. You know, and it's true. You know, now people are starting to listen. You know, well, hey, you know, yeah, people have to go and beg food where their houses have been destroyed. They lost everything they had. You know, they lost their jobs. Because the workplace had to shut down, you know, and got to pay attention, you know, and even the rock star Prince, he put a song out called "This Party Like It's 1999, like it's the end of the world," you know. So it was something that he learned, I guess, because what he was saying, you know, it was absolutely true. Things were going on. You know, and it got progressively worse, and they're getting progressively worse now. You know, I mean, it's just this guy. Yes, oh Lord, yes, we need God. We need salvation. Because just in New York and in D.C., I think it was, where, and they found the same guy. He's going around killing homeless people, hurting them, shooting them, cutting them. He said one guy was living in a box. He set it on fire. Sad. Just pathetic. See, something just came over there for severe weather advisory here. Just, I don't know if you can still hear me. Can you still hear me? Apostle? Oh, Lord, must have set it off. Can anyone hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Bishop. I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because
I can hear you. I was just getting some cabbage, juice. I got some cabbage juice. I was just getting it heated up some cabbage juice. Okay, can hear you clear.
The weather advisor just came across on my phone as I was speaking, and we're supposed to be having some severe thunderstorms and high winds. Well, the winds have been high most of the night, and I thought it was going to be a little earlier, but now it seems like we're going to have these severe thunderstorms. But people have to just pay attention. There are things going on around us all the time, you know, all the time, you know, and they just have to listen. Don't give up. We're on the brink of a miracle because God has put His word there, and we just have to pay attention to what God's word is and live the word. Live the word. Don't live like somebody say we should. Live the word. So how God says.
That's right.
Not how people say we should. Now, many have strayed from the faith. Many, because of things of the world. It's so easy to be tempted. You know, it's easy to be tempted, and it's easy to fall into temptation. But if you have given up the world things and have come to Christ before, that doesn't make sense for you to have to give it up again, because you shouldn't have gone back. But, you know, we all make mistakes. You know, we make mistakes, but you got to relinquish your mistakes. You know, just, God, help me. I need help right now. I need help personally. Everybody needs help personally. But you have to realize it. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I urge you to please do so. And don't wait until, my church has a baptism service once a month, and I'm going to wait until they have it. No. Give your life to Christ today. Now. I'm urging you to do so. Let me ask each and every one online, who's promised the next hour? Nobody. I can answer the question for you. We're not promised the next hour. When God the Father says, Bishop, your number is up. It's your turn. Whichever way he sends it to me, come home. This is it. Whichever way, I have to go. I can't say, well, Lord, give me another chance. Let me come next week when they have baptism. No. When the Lord calls on us, we have to answer. And every day he's calling on us to receive Jesus as his as our Savior. Now, the most simple explanation prayer that I can explain is John 3:16. And 17. For God did not send his, for God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to be a sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for our salvation. Christ Jesus didn't sin. He came off his holy throne to come through a woman to earth to live as a man, to know how humans feel. He felt every pain, every disease, every hunger pain, every pain of losing a family member to death or losing a part of a limb. He felt all of this. You know? Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I'm so happy that you have taken me, extended your hand to me, and I accepted you as my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to keep it that way. I don't care what the world says. And with the movie, The Passion of the Christ, that movie caused a lot of people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mel Gibson got ill. They thought the man was going to die. That's how sick he was. He was almost at death. But God has him here for a purpose. And like you said, he's going to do a second sequel. So praise the Lord for a man trying to show the world. You know, he's like being an apostle. Go out into all the world and cause people to accept Jesus as, invite them to accept Jesus as I'm doing today. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Because God knew that he didn't want to see anyone perish. That's why he sent Jesus. He didn't send him in the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so simple. It's elementary. And people just, the Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. Open your eyes. Open your heart. Listen to the word of God. Read the word daily. If you don't have a Bible, get a Bible and read it. Take your time. Ask God to tell you what he wants you to read in that Bible. Read the scripture every day if it's only one verse. You know, read it and ask God to explain it to you. You must do this. Now, God knew that we were only dust and that we would sin every day. He knew that. We all fall short of His glory every day. We have to fall short of His glory because we're not equal to God. But we have to acknowledge Him as being our Lord. And we have to praise and worship Him, as the Word says. You know, we're only made of dust. We all fall short of the glory of God each and every day. Romans. You want to look for it yourself? Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And then Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's an eternal death. That's not a death that, well, Lord, you know, I'm sorry, I repent. You know, if you cross over and you're in sin, my God, I ask God in the name of Jesus Christ that He opens people's mind before they cross over. Mm-hmm. They don't be so foolish as not to accept Him as their Savior. Mm-hmm. So you have an opportunity today. And prayer of salvation is in the book of Romans also, chapter 10, beginning at verse 8 and 9. And the Word of God says at verse 8, oh my God, help me, Holy Spirit.
God.
I'm so, it just urges me, yes. What does it say? It says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's Amen. Giving you instructions right there. It's That's in right. your mouth. You must speak. Yes. Speak it out. Yes. For the enemy cannot read your mind. All he can do is inject thoughts in your mind. Go back mm-hmm. to your past on what you have said. Oh, remember when you slept with Susie Q or you slept with John Q. Citizen, you know? No. He's going to tell you these things. And that person you may have really felt passionate about or in lust, and you thought you was in love. You know, you might want to call that person because the enemy is going to try and feed you all these things that you were weak to. If you were an alcoholic, you'll always have somebody to offer you a drink. Or like with me, with the smoking and the cigarettes, people always who never offered me before, when I stopped doing all this, turned my life over to God, gave up the smoking and the drinking, every day somebody would say, hey, man, you want a cigarette? No, I can live without them. You want a drink? No, I don't drink anymore. You sure? Did I just tell you? I don't want to drink anymore. Oh, man, I don't know what's wrong with you. I said, no, but if you try it, you'll find out what's wrong with me is not wrong, it's right. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Now, verse 9, where confession is made, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died for our sins and God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Bottom line. No, not nothing Bishop made up. It's in the book. It's in the book. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you make that short confession, it's all it takes, that you have to mean it in your heart. You have to believe it, and you have to mean it, and know that God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. Amen. All right. Your next step is to repent. Repent, repent, repent. Do not go back to the ways that you were living. And then your next step is to be baptized. And as we do on Blog Talk Radio, and if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 38, it says, and Peter said to them, repent. Don't go back. Don't go back. And repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If you made that short confession, you must repent, must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the church that you're in, if you're in the church and you like the church, but they don't baptize in that manner, you can remain in your church. I'm not telling you to leave your church, but I'm telling you to find someone, some pastor, who will baptize you as the apostles did in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, yeah. Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, It clearly states, nor is there any other name mentioned under heaven that we must be saved by. It's Jesus Christ. No other name but Jesus Christ. Not Buddha, not Ho Chi Minh or whoever, you know, whoever they believe in, Monkey Chuck or whoever these idols they pray to. No. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's the only name. So I ask you, I urge you, I strongly urge you, if you don't have a Bible, get one. If you know somebody that has a Bible, write the scriptures down, chapter 10, okay, chapter 10 of Romans, and verses 8 and 9. Read those, nothing else. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 to 40, read it for yourself. Or have somebody read it to you and ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to you exactly what it means. And I mean, it's pretty simple. It's very clear. But some people will get confused with things sounding like one way and it's not. Have somebody who's a seasoned Christian explain it to you. And pray that you do. If you can find someone today that will baptize you today, accept Jesus right now. And if you can find someone who can baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then do that today or whenever it's at all possible for you to do it. Just ask. Go to any church and ask the pastor. I want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the apostles did in the book of Acts, chapter 2. And any pastor who reads that should have the understanding, they should have the revelation that Jesus Christ is the only way. It states it. You know, I mean, come on, if you say you know the Bible, then you better understand that. So do that for yourself, for your family, for friends, neighbors, enemies, you know, co-workers, strangers on the street. Just say, oh, hey, I'm being baptized, and I can tell you about Jesus because I just learned about him, and I received him as my Savior. You know, it's a proud, happy feeling. It's a glorious feeling when you receive Jesus. And when you go down into the water grave, as it's called, and you go down into the baptismal pool, and you die to sin and come up with Jesus Christ. My God, what a thrill. Oh, nothing like it, nothing else like it. To do this for yourself and for your family. And by example, a lot of people do things by example. A lot of them, if bad things, they do by example. So do this good thing, this gift from God. Do this by example, and you'll be surprised that someone will accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, just as you did. And you will receive a reward for drawing that soul to Christ. God bless each and every one of you. Take care of yourself. Follow the laws of the land. Wear your mask, no matter what people out there are saying. You don't have to wear a mask. They got about five different variants of the COVID. So don't take any chances for you and your family and your friends and your loved ones. Don't take any chances for yourself, you know, or anyone you love. Wear the mask. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to keep a lot of people well. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Apostle, back to you.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Bishop, for that prayer of salvation. You know, I always miss you when you're not here. That's why I keep praying for you. God keep you here as long as he can keep you here. Keep us here because we got to be here together. You know, we got to be here together because we got to work to do for the kingdom.
Yes,
Lord. And as you look at the world system, you can see that we all are truly needed. You know,
yes.
not just the preacher. And not just the usher, but
that's
everybody from the janitor to the preacher is needed in the kingdom. You understand? Because
yes,
I always tell people that, you know, one of the jobs when I first, when I first came to America and I joined a church and I got baptized. I tell you, I got baptized in two different churches. And because when I got baptized, well, they call it baptism back in my country, but it wasn't no baptism. I was sprinkled the first time. They dipped the water, dipped the ladle, and poured the water on my head and tell me I was baptized. And, you know, I believe I was pushing my chest up because I believe I was really baptized. I wasn't baptized. I was sprinkled. So when I came here, I got baptized. I got baptized in one church, and then I get baptized in the next church. But I tell you, every time I got baptized and went down that water, I took off and run. I couldn't stop running, man. I mean, it was something happened inside of me. You know, I didn't have to get a second baptism, but I did it anyway. I didn't have to because when I joined the second church, they said, well, you can have baptized again if you want to. I said, okay, I want to baptize. And I went, no water. Man, I took off. Man, it was something that anointing that come upon you. I can't really explain it to nobody. You have to go down the water for yourself. I tell you something, you can't even, cocaine don't make you feel that good. I'm telling the truth. If I knew it was so good, I would not have wasted all my money buying all that cocaine I bought. Because I got so high, man, after I took off running. It's the best thing ever happened to me. But now, as we look at the world and see, the world is really, God really needs every true believer. Hear what I say, every true believer in him to really stand up. Off there, do nothing, and start working for the kingdom. You know, stop having that mindset, you know, because as I said in the message, a lot of these preachers today, they have the church as a business. They don't have the church as a ministry. It's not a ministry. It's a business. And they don't have no shame in telling you that. I've heard many big prophets and bishops that said, well, this is a business, you know. And they make sure they got an accountant there. The accountant is not just to balance the books. It's to see how much money they're making. And if they don't make any money, they say, well, we got to do something that's different because we're not making. I'm telling you, I was in a big church. And they said, well, we got to do something else. You got to do something that's different because we're not making enough money. I said, Lord, have mercy. So as soon as the weather break, they had three or four grills outside the church. They were cooking steaks. They were cooking hamburgers, hot dogs, all kind of stuff, chicken, barbecue chicken. And they would tell you they had potato salad. They had macaroni and cheese. They had cakes. They had all that stuff. They were selling that stuff. You hear what I'm talking about? It's a business. It's a business. They don't trust God enough to supply their needs. When God sent the disciples out, he sent them out, and he told them, don't carry nothing with you. Don't make sure you don't have your suitcase overpacked. Don't carry two staffs. Don't have four pairs of shoes like we do. We got to have a shoe for this color suit, a shoe for that color suit. We have to have four or five different ties or priest collars, all that stuff we got to have. Because we want to look good. We're trying to impress the people. God said, you don't need all that stuff. He said, just take one stuff. He said, when you get where you're going, he said, I'm going to give you what you need. He said, don't even worry about me. He said, I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of. God said, he said so. He said, I'm going to make sure. I'm paraphrasing. He said, I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. If you go into a city and they don't receive you, he said, brush off the dust off your feet. He said, even the dust off your feet will come against them in judgment. He said, if you go in a house and the house don't receive you, take back your blessing. He says, salutation, grant that house a blessing. But if they don't receive you, take back the blessing. Do you hear what God said? I read that thing. I was messed up, Pastor. I was messed up. God said, you can take your blessing back from that house. People don't understand when a preacher, a true man of God, a woman come in your house and say, bless your house. You better receive it. It's good. He blessing your house. And that woman can walk right back on the door. You don't receive them and say, well, I'm taking my blessing back. God said you can take it back. I didn't say that. It's in the book. God said that. But people don't look at that stuff. But God is requiring for the warriors to rise up. It's time to rise up. Rise up. Because if you see what he said in Ezekiel chapter 4 and chapter 5, I started in chapter 1. Yesterday, and I've come down, did three chapters, Lord, so we go 1, 2, 3, and then we do 4 and 5 today, 5 and 4. But when you look and see how God talked to this man, and all the other prophets, the great prophets that I heard, he only called Ezekiel as a son of man. Son of man. Mm. And if you study the root, and the lineage of Ezekiel, you will see this man was just like Job. He was just like Job, in a sense. I mean, this man walked right before God. His father was a priest, and he walked according to the laws of God. And as I'm looking at that apostle, and I'm studying it last night and the day before, I'm saying, man, I want to get like these preachers that really, 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 truly sold out to God.
Yeah.
Really sold out, not just saying you sold out. A lot of people say, I'm sold out, but they ain't sold out. They're still slipping and dipping. We got to stop the slipping and dipping. I'm telling the truth. We have to stop the slipping and dipping. If we want to see the manifestation of the glory of God upon our lives, because listen, I know a lot of people say, well, you know, the book of Isaiah says, he said, my glory will not share with anyone. Well, that's reverence God talking about. So there's two different types of glory. There's a reverence that belongs to God, and then there's a glory that belongs to the church. The leaders, the ones that he assigned, he put the glory on them. That's the presence, the divine anointing that he put upon us to do the will of God. You can't do it without that glory. So you hear preachers say, well, God ain't going to share glory with nobody. That's the truth. That's true. But there's still a glory that God gives to the church, to the leaders. He says, Father, the glory I have with you, I have given to them that they will become one as we are one. So God does put his glory upon us. But you hear, but God ain't going to share glory. But the reverence, that reverence that belongs to the supreme sovereign God, he will not share that with nobody. You're not going to be no God. Some of the preachers run around saying that we are little gods. I was watching a fellow on YouTube. Yeah, there's some Caucasian guy saying, we are all gods. We are gods. We are gods. So start taking up your godship. I said, look at these people. Hypocrisy. How you think God will have all these little gods going around? You are son of God. You are daughter of God. But you're not a god. Believe what I'm telling you. I had to use that analogy yet. My son Benjamin is my son, but he not David. He is Benjamin.
Nope.
You understand? So he not going to be a David. He not never going to be a David. He is a Benjamin. He got my blood in him. He got my DNA. I got God DNA. When you got saved, you take on God's DNA. You know that? You got God DNA.
Yeah.
That anointing, that spiritual divine DNA you got. But you're not God. But they've got some preachers, because they got millions of dollars and they got a mega church. They get up on that pulpit and talk out the side of their neck, and the people say, oh, yeah, yeah, thank you, apostle. Thank you, bishop. Thank you, prophet. Thank you. You know, they're leading the people the wrong way. They're saying the wrong stuff. They're defiling the doctrine of Christ Jesus. We are not gods. We're never going to be gods. Even when we get to be with him, we're not going to be God. We're going to be just children of God. That's right. We're going to be divine children of God. That's all we're going to be. That's all we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
What happened to the line open. What happened to the last one that could be God?
That's right. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kicked right out.
Right out of heaven. Oh, my. Lord.
Now the line is open for anyone that want to come on in.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Apostle. We thank God for
You're
the
welcome,
word. Hallelujah. We thank God for the word. And I'm glad that you said that God has his own glory.
Right.
The glory that no man can have
is
his. And there is a glory for the church.
Yes.
And when you read the Bible, it is specified in the Bible that God's glory is on his church. So I'm glad you said that, because that clears a lot of things up for, I'm sure, a lot of people who didn't understand that. When we study the word, we got to really study the word. And I thank God that what you are saying through this chapter is that we have to make all the sacrifices that is necessary. Whatever God has called us to do, we just have to do it. Whatever he says to do, we have to do it. No matter how we feel about it. mountain. I mean, Ezekiel was having this conversation, but God was telling him still. He didn't excuse him from it. This is what God said to do, and this is what he wanted done. And, you know, it's up to us to obey God. It's up to us to make a decision where we're really going to be a son or we're really going to be a daughter. We can never be the son of man like Jesus. There's a deity
right.
there that we cannot claim that deity.
Yes, sir.
That's
because
right.
Because when Jesus, it's said that he's the son of man, he has that deity. He has that Lord. We don't have that. But, you know, we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. But what I just heard all through the sermon was that obedience always is the key. Always is the key. No matter how strange it may seem when God is asking us to do something or how hard it may seem, how hard it's going to be. I mean, imagine that, laying in dung. But what's, you know, but God is saying that we're going to have to, we're going to have to take a lot of that. That is a lot of poo-poo we got to put up with. We have to endure a whole lot of stink. And God has been patient with us, with the body of Christ, with the sinner, because of his mercy. And you stressed that in the sermon, because of his mercy. But that aroma is a stench in the nostrils of God. And so I believe the message is saying it's a stench. What they are doing, it really stinks. You know, dung stinks. And it really stinks in the nostrils of God. It's very displeasing. You know, you have all kind of aromas. That's not a good one. That's not a good one at all. And I believe God was saying human dung would not even be a sacrifice. A human could never do what Jesus did. It would never be a sacrifice. But to use the animal. And I was thinking about that. The animal, to use the dung of an animal, and God refused to tell him to use the dung. No, don't use the dung of the human. Use the dung of the animal. And it's just so many things came to my mind, and some people might think, well, that's, you know, that's weird. That's weird. That's gross. But when you got the dung from the cow, is God saying that dung from the cow is more pure dung than a human dung? What is he saying? Why we got to use the cow? It got me to thinking, why he had to use the animal? First of all, an animal does what an animal is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
A cow makes milk, and it always makes milk. And when it's fed right, it makes good milk, okay? Mm-hmm. Animals do what animals do. Dogs bark, ducks quack. You know what I'm saying? The wolf hollers. The lion does what the lion do. But people, we were created. We were made to worship and praise God. So when the animal does what it do, when the trees does what it does, when we all do what we have to do, when they do what they have to do, when they do what they were made to do, the animal, the bird was made to sing. Some of them sing. The woodpecker pecks at the wood, you know. I mean, it's just awesome. He's such a glorious, awesome God. Yeah. So the message to me was that dung is cleaner than human dung. Yeah. Although it stinks, it's a different kind of stink. Mm-hmm. That's how I was getting it. It's a different kind of dung because that animal does what that animal is supposed to do. Jesus was a pure sacrifice. And even when God asked for an offering, he asked for the pure animal. He always asked for the pure animal, the first of the first. But that's going too far out there right now. But here's the thing. That's what was coming to me. Why, you know, when you're reading the Word of God, it makes you ask questions. why, God, would you use the dung? Why would you even use this man of God to lay down in the dung?
People are quick to, I'm not going to question God.
It's all right to ask God questions because we see it through the Bible.
If you go to college and you don't understand, you ask the professor, well, what does that mean? You're not insulting that professor.
But glory to God. That's right.
You're not insulting God. God said, come now, let us use it together, which means you can talk to me.
So, Apostle, that's right, you can. You can talk to me. Sit down, let's have a talk together. And that's what praying is about. Praying is about talking to God. And we can even ask questions. Jesus is a teacher. He's our rabboni, our teacher. Don't we ask teachers questions? Don't we, you know, if we don't understand something when we were in school, even now, you're a teacher, you're a prophet, you're the man of God, you're the overseer. And when we need to ask questions, when we have something on our minds, we come and we talk to you. We want to talk to you. I want to call Apostle, and I want to talk to Apostle. You know, I want to talk to him because he has wisdom and because he has the word of God. He has God in his heart. You know, so I can come and talk to you, and I can get some answers that I may not be able to get. But God give us people for our lives. I may not be able to get it, you know, from some people, but I can get it from you. And maybe a question I ask, I might not be able to get it from you, but God will give me somebody else to give me the answer, because God give us people. And then sometimes, and most of the time, God is going to give us the answer if we just keep searching in the Bible.
Yeah.
He'll give us the answer for ourselves, like Bishop said, God, give me understanding. Ask God to give you understanding of his word. And so my mind kept going back to the animal thing. Animal does what God created that animal. He made that animal to do that. But the human beings, he made us to worship him. He made us to love him. We were made to love God. We were made to love God, made to worship God, made to be only God, one and only for God.
Yes.
So that's something that I always thought about, you know, making this man God, and he obeyed. Even though he questioned it, he obeyed. He said, I've never eaten this stuff. I've never even eaten this animal. I've never done that. And you brought it out. I've never done it before. But God will ask us to do things that we've never done before, to test our faith, to test us to see if we're going to be obedient. He's going to ask you some outlandish thing to do. And you'll be like, well, God, I don't have the resources. God, I don't have what I need to do that. God, I don't know how to do that. And God will say, I know how. I know everything. What I'm asking you to do, just do it. There's purpose in everything that God asks us to do. Mm-hmm. There's purpose for our lives. And when God asks us to do something, we got to do it. And I know this analogy is you know, it, when you come to the Word of God, sometimes the analogy is just simple, and we just can't get it because we haven't gotten any understanding that we need. But it's really, really wonderful when we can obey God regardless to whether we agree with him or not. You know, we have to agree on the word of God. We might not agree on what he tells us to do, but we got to agree on the word of God. And then as we talk to God about something he's asked us to do, then we'll understand. Okay, God, or maybe never understand, but I'm going to do it because you said to do it, because down the line it's for a purpose. And he wanted to show this man. This man can lie down in dung. And I forget how long he had to lay, Apostle. He had to lay there, and God gave him specific instructions. Whenever God gives us specific instructions, we got to follow them specifically. Yeah. It was a year, month. But that's a long time to be in that position.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a long time. But
yeah, laid down more than a year, Apostle. He laid down 390 days.
Yeah, 390 over
days.
Year. 390. And even at 390 something. Even at 390 something. Everything, the numbers, what God said for him to do, it all has a purpose. And when we look at the word like you do, when we look at it, and we say, God, what is this? Why this man? What is this, God? And you begin to think about the poo-poo. You begin to think about the time frame. You begin to think about everything that God told that man to do. And this is what God wants us to do. It's like being in college. The professors will give you assignments to make you think. You know, college trains you to think. It's a training ground for thinking, you know, to go a little deeper in study, to go deeper. It's just like the word. We got to go. That's right. They give you notes. God gave us the word. And when we look at the word, we take notes and we ask God. We make note of things and we ask God, God, what does this mean? What does that mean? So we ask the professor. You know, and he'll give you those assignments to make you think. I listened to my daughter have, sometimes they have class at home, and she don't have to go, and they're on the line. They're online, and everybody is expounding on whatever the professor is asking. Well, what would you do about this? What would you think? What do you think about this? And I'm learning just listening to her. I'm learning some new things just listening because I'm interested in listening and learning new things. But that's what college does. If you're really into that study, if you're really going to college because you really want to learn this thing, you're going to learn because what? You're going to delve into it. You're going to do all your assignments, and you're going to want to do great at those assignments. You're going to want to get that A+ like Samara. Samara remind me of Sian. Sian would cry if she didn't get an A, but she got A's. But if she got a B or A, and she knew she deserved more than that, she would go. If she got an A-, she would go to the professor and say, "Now show me why I got this grade, because I know I got all my answers perfectly right." You know, she didn't want no B's. She didn't have no B's. She finished. She finished. Even on her SAT scores, she finished with 93, 99, 100. I mean, her scores were way up there because she's a gifted person in school. She was always in gifted class. But just like Samara want to have her A's. She want to do her best. You have students like that. So we should apply that same. We should make application in the same way when it comes to the word of God. We want to please God, and we want to do the perfect thing. We want to do as well as we can so that it can come out in an excellent way. We want to work on the perfect thing. We want it to be perfect, but we're not going to be perfect because we are human. But I tell you what, that dung stuff, that cow, that dung was doing what God said to do.
That's
right. The cow moves, and the cow don't stop moving, okay, until he dies. He's going to still move, or she dies, unless they got a gay cow somewhere. But anyway.
You're messing with the bell, Papa.
We got the gay cows.
Oh, Lord, Jesus, help us.
Because everything is so messed up, they might have gay animals now. I don't know, because it's a trend. It's a different kind of move, you know.
I just believe that they're doing that for sure.
Yeah, it's gotten to be like a new fashion. It's a trend now. You know, it's the thing to do. And it's been like that all through the ages. You know, like in Ecclesiastes, it says nothing has changed. Everything is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It goes around and goes around. It comes back around. It comes back around. But anyway, that's what was so much was coming to me, Apostle. You know, I just love the word. And when other, like when you're doing it, it gives me, anybody else that's doing the word, your mind be going. It be going. You know, you be thinking about it, you know, this, that, or the other about this. God is giving you stuff as the person is preaching. Why? Because you're into what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not really listening, we don't learn. We don't learn.
You can listen. But
and
you might
even
not be
somebody could be, yes. Even somebody could be teaching it in the wrong way and giving and changing the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to really, really listen. But we know we don't do that on Block Talk. Nobody's going to be allowed to do that. But I'm just saying, let's do the perfect thing. That is, the perfect thing is following the will of God, because the will of God is perfect. If we can follow the commandments, follow what God commands us to do, that's the perfect thing. It doesn't make us perfect, but we can do the perfect thing. We're still human, just like Ezekiel did the perfect thing. The perfect thing was that I'm going to obey my God.
Thank you.
That's the perfect thing. And you brought it out, obedience. He did what God said, even though it had to be horrible. And what God is saying also through this to me was that there are going to be horrible things. There are going to be sacrifices, and I know about them. There's going to be sacrifices. Hard things are going to come, and you got to stay in there for as long as it takes. What is that over the year? It's stay in there. Stay in there for however long it takes for it to change, you know. So the thing is, he's trying to show the people, this is my man of God. This is the Son of Man. This is my man of God. He's going to lay here, and he's going to do what I said to do. But did it make them follow God? Everything. But God was giving Ezekiel a lesson, Apostle. He's given Ezekiel a lesson. He's still testing Ezekiel's faith, even though Ezekiel did everything God said to do. God is still testing Ezekiel. Is he going to do it? Are you going to lay in the dung? He did it with Job. So Apostle mentioned Job. He mentioned Job. I heard you mention Job. Job went through. But the whole message is that you are going to go through. You're going to have some poo-poo in your life. It ain't going to all smell like perfume. It ain't going to be a bed of roses. You're going to have to lay.
You'll see they have thorns, don't they?
They do. And you're going to have to lay. You're going to have to lay and wait. Lay, sit, wait. You're going to have to lay and wait on God. It might take years for something to go through that God said that he was going to do for us. It may take years, but God has patience, and he's teaching us patience.
And obedience.
Let me
just say this, Apostle.
Because when I first read that
did you notice what he did to Ezekiel, Apostle? Did you notice what he did to Ezekiel? God tied Ezekiel up.
He tied him up.
Mm-hmm. While he was laying on the ground. The Bible says he tied Ezekiel, so God has some rope too. God, I was laughing when I was studying that. God has some rope, man. You don't need God to tie you up, man. God tied him up with some rope so that he couldn't turn over from the left side to the right side. Because God makes sure that he had to bear that thing, carry the sins of Israel on him. See, he had the sins on him, the sins of Israel, and God tied him, said, now you're going to stay on the left side, and then you're going to turn to the right side after the time is fulfilled. See, and he said, while you turn to the side, now you're going to begin to prophesy against Israel, because they're detestable people. Ah, my God, they have rejected God. And God said, now you're worshiping other gods, but I'm going to have my servant come, and he's going to speak what I say to speak. He's going to do what I say to do. And God made sure that Ezekiel accomplished exactly what God said. So you're perfect about that. It was all about obedience. You know,
it's about obedience. And look, Ezekiel was like, you know what? I want to come out of this. I don't want to keep laying in this dung. I want to do exactly what God said. I don't want to keep laying in this poo-poo. When you're going through something, you don't want to keep going through it. He obeyed it, but you don't want to keep going through the same. You don't want to go through that anymore. So if he would have failed it, probably God would have had him go back and do it again. But God gave it to him, and God helped him. He tied him up so he wouldn't be able to turn over.
Wouldn't move, that's right.
Don't you want to be tied up and locked down in God? Don't you want to be tied up in God so that God will, so you won't make those moves that you're not supposed to make? My God, because God got you locked down in his faith. Locked down in faith, tied down. Tied down in God, you're locked in. And so God helped him not to be able to move. He had him tied up. Hallelujah, he can move now, but he couldn't move other parts of his body.
Yeah.
He had to do it. God restricted him, kept him right where he was until the prescribed time. And God's going to keep us right where we need to be until we're called home. Until we're called home. If we obey, God will, we have to be restricted from some things. Restrictions.
That's right.
We have restrictions. Mm. And you talked about people and how you can love people, but we are restricted. God said, come out from among them. We still have to love them, but there's a restriction there. You are not to be around it and doing what they're doing. You are restricted from it, but you still have to love them.
The pastor brought that out today.
Yes, that's right. That's it. I love this teaching. It just had me going all over. I was everywhere with this one. It was. It's so good, Apostle. There's so much meat in there. It's so much meat in the story.
Yeah.
And it's so many places that God will take you as to what he was doing with this man of God and what the reason would be. Because God is saying, you have to make those sacrifices. You have to do what I tell you to do. If you want my word to be in your mouth, if you want me, if you're a prophet, you're a so-called prophet, well, God's word, your mouth is God's mouthpiece. My God, and God want us to do what he has called us to do in the right way. If we obey, he'll help us do it. God is not going to call us to an assignment and just drop us. He's not going to do that. He called you to Africa, and when you went to Africa, this is your testimony, I know, but I'm just going to say a little something about it. When they wanted to kill you, God helped you. God told you, don't go. He gave you an assignment, but while he gave you that assignment, the devil was assigning his demons. My God, the devil was assigning stuff too. God said, don't eat. Don't eat and don't go with them. But they had a plan to kill you. The devil got a plan. He always want to kill us. He always want to destroy us. He's not going to stop trying. But God had a plan. You went through the plan with the plan, and you got and then you weren't feeling well. You got sick, all of that, but you still got through. God got you through. Mm-hmm. The enemy tried to kill you, but God got you through, because he's not going to give you an assignment and then just drop you. God doesn't do that. Training us, he wants our ears to be trained, our eyes to see, and our ears to be trained to hear. We need that training. Even God's faithful prophets, faithful people, they have to hear. We have to hear. We have to see. And when we're faithful, we want to. But thank you for this word and the way you delivered it. And you did slow down too. You did slow down.
Oh yeah.
And I was listening to you.
Yeah.
But that's gonna happen. That's gonna happen. But because I get loud too, and sometimes I go fast too, and I'll hear slow down, slow down. And you've even told me, Apostle, you want to get it out. You got to get it out. You're excited. And I told my daughter, she said, Mama, you got to stop screaming when you preach. I say, honey, I say, sometimes you just get wound up and you just get
turned loose.
You're gonna start running with it and running with it. But you slow down and I always enjoy your teaching. And you did it on Deacon's Line. I say, wow, Pastor sounds different. Because you were like talking like real slow like. And I said, Apostle, it sounds so different. But it was good. That was a good teaching. It was a short, good teaching.
Wow.
It was right on point. And this is how God is. He's on point. He's always on point, even when we think something is strange about what he's asking us to do. When I tell you, when I read that for the first time, I was scratching my head. And, you know, even with Jeremiah and all the things that Jeremiah went through, and it's just telling us, look, it's not strange when you have to go through. It's not strange when you have a hard trial. Because God is going to constantly test our faith. We're going to be tested till we leave this place.
Holy Spirit gave you
something. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Tom.
Thank you, Apostle, again.
We got Ten Commandments.
You're welcome. Thank you.
God, right? He gave them to Moses, didn't he?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And one of the Ten Commandments is this, thou shalt not kill. Huh? Doesn't it? It commands them, thou shalt not kill. Am I right? How many times did God say, don't talk to these people and kill everything, animals, little children, ants, whatever, kill it all. God said to kill it. He said, thou shall not kill. But the obedience is, well, am I to listen to God or not? No, I forgot the story where the killer break up the idols and somebody take the idols with. I forgot who, oh my God. It caused a whole bunch of problems. Disobedience. If God said jump up, you know,
you're talking about King Saul. King Saul didn't kill everything.
Yeah.
He didn't do what God said. He did what he wanted to do.
Way before.
And he lost his kingdom. He lost his kingdom.
The Ten Commandments were there. You know, Moses had got those Ten Commandments way before King Saul. God told him, kill them all. Kill everything. Break up the idols. Kill the children. Kill the animals. I don't care what. Kill it. Everything. I want it all dead. That's why people say, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. No. God made everything. When God said, jump up, I'm right there. God said, Jane, jump up, I'm going to jump up, you know, and I'm going to try my hardest to defy gravity. Because see, if I come down, God's going to tell me, who told you to come down? I told you to jump up. You know, I think that's where the Air Force got that from. You know? Because if God said do something, you do it. No matter how hard it may seem, you do it. He knows our limitations.
That's right. And I sure enough.
He told me today, James, jump up. You know, and if you keep me there for 10 minutes, you know, and I'm going to just jump up and stay up there till you tell me, okay, James, you can come down now. See, I'm not going to defy. If you say jump up, I'm waiting for the command. I'm waiting for the command. Okay, you can come down. You know, I ain't defying God.
You gotta jump when God say move.
I did enough defying what God said when I was in that world.
Yes.
I didn't know. You know, I'm going to do this because I can do this. Yeah, right. I could have been 6 feet under. You know, well, bony me, you know, if I'd have perished. But I obeyed God. What I did was obey God. He extended his hand to me. This man, there are many people that told me, you know, you a preacher. No, I ain't. No, I ain't. No, not me. Mm-mm. Who, I'm going to be Reverend Lowe now? No, no, not me. I ain't going to be like all these people. That was my, you know, that's my thing.
The devil puts that in people's heads.
Yeah, but amen.
I mean, if you have Reverend Lowe,
that's what I'm
world,
talking about.
That
so
doesn't
many
mean that you're supposed to be there.
And you see this title that apostle said, God told him to make me a bishop. You know I did not want to be no bishop.
You know, the first time he was called a bishop, he said,
I'll call him bishop.
She
said, I'm going to still call you a bishop. I said, I'm not going to answer you. Because all the bishops that I know about, now I don't know about everybody, but there's one bishop that I wasn't thinking about. I don't know of any scandal in that man's life, and he's crossed over now. Bishop Patterson. Man, you know, I never heard anybody say negative about that man. But a whole bunch of other bishops, how you going to be a bishop? You don't want to marry a woman, but you've been with her for over 20 years. Well, really? Bishop? Come on, man. You ain't doing it right. You know, and I can't be one of them. No, I don't want to be, but I've gotten over the title stuff.
You poop, they dish hops, they hop from one to the
other. Come to my church, Bishop. We got half a mil for you, bro. You know, and then we're going to collect another half a mil, so you're going to have $1 million when you leave here. No, why should I prostitute God's will?
Here's the thing.
Just buy a Bible and you can read it for yourself.
Yes. Here's the thing. What we have to look at that is that's supposed to be appalling to us.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
The complete opposite.
Yeah.
That's why God had shown you that.
Long time ago. You know that.
When he shows it to you, it's for a purpose.
When
we are to never do that, or we are to come out of it
that
and
lady,
stay out of it.
That lady on my job told me. you will be a preacher. I said, don't you put that on me. Your uncle's a preacher. I said, my uncle's only son is not a preacher. And usually if a man's a carpenter, his son will be a carpenter or a bricklayer or something. They follow their daddy's footsteps. My uncle had two daughters and one son, and his son is not a deacon even. And she ain't no preacher. He's a church member, but he take one of them titles. Yeah, my dad is a preacher. I'm going to be a preacher. No.
Some people run from their assignment. Some people run from it. Maybe he was supposed to be.
But he knew what his daddy was doing. He knew what his daddy was doing.
You know, Apostle, not crossing bishops. You know, let me share something with you. This Ezekiel is such an anointed man. Study him on your spare time. Study the book of Ezekiel. I know a lot of people like to go to chapter 37, talk about the dry bones and stuff, but the whole book of Ezekiel is so powerful. You will see that God has done some things to this prophet that he haven't done to other prophets. Bless me. There was times that the Lord, he was having a conversation with the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord into Ezekiel. And take him to from where he was to another place. I said, wow. Because of his obedience to God, if God told him, like you saying just now, Bishop, if God told him jump, he jumped. If God told him walk, he walked. If God told him talk, he talked. He did everything that God said to him.
Amen.
Only time that he really questioned God was this, with this stuff, he questioned God about this down. That's the only time I see him really question God. He questioned God about the down, and God told him to use human down. He just said, man, look, I've been living up right before you. Ever since I was a child, I was living right. And you know, God, you know I've been living. God blessed me right there. And God said, okay, well, I'm going to change. You don't have to use the human down no more. Use the cow down. The cow down is, and I like what you said, Apostle, that was so powerful. The cow dung is pure. It's pure because the cows, they eat what they need to eat.
It's not mixed with anything.
You know,
cows are made of
They don't eat a lot of strange stuff. Cows just pick and choose. Cows are very particular. You see them. They don't eat everything. And he said, well, okay, you can use the cow dung to bake the cakes. I said, wow. He asked God. God, from the time I was a child, I live a certain way. I never defiled my body. Oh, my God, that was so powerful. Oh, I love
well, you
that.
Know, he
I love
was
that.
Saying that, though. He was saying that. That was his humanness. And he was saying that. But what God is saying, I'm higher than you. I'm higher. And even though I'm higher, my son was sent to be a sacrifice.
Yes, no. Thank you, Jesus.
And nobody made the sacrifice that he did. Nobody could. No one could. Make the sacrifice that Jesus did. And no one can be called the Son of Man with capital letters.
Yes, Lord.
When you see the Son, Jesus the Son, is in caps.
Yes, sir.
Ezekiel wasn't in caps. The Son, when he called Ezekiel the Son of Man, he wasn't in caps. It wasn't in caps. It was not in caps. Because Jesus was the Son of Man, and they can only be one, one glorious God. So, he's the God of glory. Nobody else could be the God of glory. Nobody else could be a son like him. Nobody else.
My God, I never noticed that.
No, when you look in it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel was called the Son of Man all through the book. I mean, many times he was called the Son of Man. So was Jesus. But Jesus was called the Son of Man, and it fulfills that prophecy in Daniel, that he would be the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
If you read, I think it's Daniel chapter 14. I'm not sure, Apostle, but, I'm not sure. But I know it's in the book of Daniel, where it's a prophecy that he's going to come. The Son of Man is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody else can say, nobody else can be called the Son of Man, and it's written in caps.
Mm-hmm.
Only Jesus.
The cars can be nice.
We hear you, Mother Grant. You know what? I wasn't supposed to go, but I didn't hear anybody, so that's why I went in with the comment, because it got quiet and I didn't hear anybody. But I hear you, Mother. We hear you, Mother Grant. I heard her in the background, and I heard her.
Oh, I'm sorry for that. I'm getting up to the place.
That's okay.
I was going to go get some stuff to ship out.
You got a reading?
I'm going to do what I have. That's where I am in the car. I'm going to do it.
He might be taking care of some business, it sounds like. She's at the post office or something?
No,
she's
I just
getting some stuff
to shipping. They're to ship stuff on the boat to the island. Yeah, they're to ship it.
Okay.
Go to the shipment company. And, you know, I ship it out. Okay. Walk around the plug in the store. Get a book of the car. I'm going to read. It says, choice matters. There is really no way to get around it. Choice matters. If you make good choices, good things will actually happen to you. And if you make bad choices, bad things will usually happen. The next time you have an important choice to make, ask yourself this. Am I doing what God wants me to do? If you can answer that question with a great big yes, then go ahead. But if you are not sure, if you choose, you are about to make it right. Slow down. Why? Because choices matters a lot. The things you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what God wants, then all these other things you need will be given to you. Matthew 6:33. May God send his blessing to his word. I also, you know, I am happy today, and I want to testify about something happened to me a while ago. A couple of things. I'm trying to get my homeowner's insurance, so I had to do the 4 points. One of them, because I didn't get it yet, because I just didn't have the money to do it. And the lady, she called me, and I call and I tell her, because I know it's tax time for the children, to help me get this homeowner's policy. The lady called. She gave me one for $2,000 anyway, but then I do the 4 point, which, and I had to pay for that, was $100. They find something with electrical panel. So, okay, I pay for electric. I just pay for inside plumbing, electric, and my water heat. I pay for that every year. I try to keep up with them things so I can have it done. So the lady said to me that I need somebody to, she could send out somebody, $25, so charge her. I said, okay. Next day, I said, wait a minute. I pay for electrical. Okay. And I call her back. I say, no, I have electrical. And I can call FPNL and call FPNL home. I said, I'm going to call them. I call them, and they tell me, say, Ms. Grant, you know, you only have for the inside. So anyway, I had three problems in the inside box and two in the inside box and three on the outside box. So they send the gentleman. He came over. He was a Jamaican. Thank you, God. I feel so good inside. Then he come in and, you know, he look at it and he say, you ask them, you know, if they want pictures or whatever, what I do before and what I do after. So I call the lady and, you know, I had her on speaker and she could hear what he was saying. So he fixed it. But he say, you know, Ms. Grant, do you have electrical service for inside or outside? He say, because I can call the company saying I have to, and I say, well, they tell me I only have inside coverage. So he say, anyway, he say, what I going to do for you? He say, I'm going to call them to let them know. He say, if I tell them what this is, say, they ain't going to want to fix it. They ain't going to cover it. Say, but I can let them know that I had to fix two wires in here for you. And I can tell them it's all in the inside. I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He say, because if I tell them you got outside, you don't have outside coverage, he say, they're not going to fix it. They're going to charge you. I mean, I feel so blessed. So blessed. And he come inside and he fix it. And he said, Ms. Grant, he take all the pictures because they want to see pictures before and after. And he sent it to the company. Now I just have to call them back later and let them know, find out if they get it. So I feel so good inside. I said, Lord, I wish I had something to push in his hand, but then I know that's his job. You can't do that, you know. I don't have it, but that always in my mind said, give him $50. But I didn't do it, I said, because that might be, you know, be a problem. But anyway, that's what I wanted to say. I am blessed. And another thing, Apostle, you remember when I tell you my engine light was on? My engine light was on in the car, and I had so much. I'm worried about that so much. I went to one place where they check it and they tell me what was wrong. I had to go to so much different Mercedes place. One of them say $1,400. One say $1,800. One say $1,000. Anyway, You know the engine light runs so long. Apostle, one morning I get up, no light. Because I couldn't afford to fix none of it. I just wouldn't try it. I don't go no long places. Apostle, the light went off from then till now. The light don't even come back on. I said, glory to God. I said, God,
hallelujah.
No. I don't have the money to fix it. I said, God is so good. He is so good to me.
He's
and I say,
mechanic.
I keep saying, I got to remember and tell you that. I say, that light went off. That light stay on. I say, I ain't got no money to fix this. Everybody, but they all, I tell you all the prices they give me. I say, God, you know that light went on. The car is still running.
God's a mechanic. He'll fix your stuff.
Yes.
He'll fix your stuff. You just got to tell him.
Yeah.
He a deacon sing that song. God is Jesus on the main line. Call him up and tell him what you want.
Call him up and tell him what you want.
That's right. Call him up and tell him what you want.
So blessed. A man come in, fix everything. He say, I'm not going to tell them that. He say, I'm going to fix everything for you, and you will be okay. I say, thank you, Jesus, because I pay for them service every year, plumbing and all of that. You know, that's why I try to keep up with my stuff, because I know I can't afford to pay nobody to pay it. And for him to come here and do that, I am so blessed. I am so thankful. I say, you see, God has blessed me. And I had all this stuff here to send to a church in Seagrave. So I was dealing with them. A man come over. He's going to the Bahamas who know Clement. He know them. And he came over. He used to be a policeman. I was telling him, I say, I have six boxes in here, I say, to send to a church in Seagrave. I say, but they saying, you know, they ain't got nobody to get it from me. He say he bring some stuff because he come from Orlando. But he live in the Bahamas. He say, let me put my stuff here in your house. He say, I get in a U-Haul tomorrow. He said to take my stuff to put it on the boat. And I called. I tell him about the Reverend Marlingstein Seeger. He said, I know them. I know all of them. I used to be a policeman, but I retired. And I called him. I let somebody call him and tell him. And he say, I'll take the stuff to the boat for them. You just tell them they'd be out there to the boat to claim it. Isn't that God? Six boxes of clothes and food. And I got two here now. I'm going
awesome.
To put to send to Turks Island. But I just have to mail them to I'm not mail, but they got a ship that goes to Turks Island. They open 5 days a week, and I go in now with these two boxes I got to send to my godchild daughter because she got three children. I just sent her four
yeah,
out the other day. Now it's two more I sent. I'm trying to clear out everything because my daughter, they coming over. Everybody coming over for my birthday, and they don't plan, say, she tells me she renting a U-Haul because I's a hoarder, and they can take all this stuff I got out of my house and get it out.
They're gonna clear the house
so
out.
The house is clear. I say, oh my God, because you can't get by in my room. I got, and people just keep bringing things to me. You know, they just keep bringing stuff. And I'm trying to get it out to give it to people that is in need. They don't know how that is. She said, Mommy, I'm renting a U-Haul. I don't put in for it. So we can clean out your house because you hoard her. I say, oh, Lord. I said, God, help me to get these things to the people who need it.
Jesus.
Everything right in the living room for the man. He come with his U-Haul later, and they go and pack it to put it on the ship. They going that go to Freeport, and I got a tube here now. I going down by the airport and put it on the ship to go to Turks Island. I'm clear. Yeah,
that is
God
good.
Is good.
That
is
good.
God is good. Jesus, God.
See
is
when
good.
When you obey God, God blesses you.
Yes. Yes,
when you obey him, he blesses you. Yes. You know, you can't lose when you obey God. You can lose when you disobey God. When you disobey him, you lose. But when you obey him, you win. It's all winning, you know. A lot of people don't want to do what God says, and then when they get the repercussion from not obeying God, then they'll come, why God let this happen to me? No, because you're disobedient. You be obedient. God going to bless you. God going to bless you.
Yes.
You know, he's gonna bless you. And I just thank God for you all and thank you for the reading because the reading was right on to what we were saying this morning. You know, you got to trust God. I told a lady yesterday, day before yesterday, I was over there helping this lady out. And I told her, I said, now, if you're going to pray, don't worry. And if you're going to worry, don't pray because it's not going to happen for you. You know, don't worry. When I ask God to do something for me, I leave it alone and say, God, I thank you. I thank you for you already heard me. You know, I know you already heard me. And I'm not going to go around the house where, oh, Lord, why this happened? No, because I prayed, and I know God heard me. And the Bible said, while I'm yet thinking about it, God has already answered. Because he know what I need. While I'm yet thinking about the situation, God has already answered. So I just thank God for you and thank God for the stuff you do for the poor people. You know, you go from place to place getting food from different pantries, and then you give it to people that can't afford to get the stuff they need. You get clothes from different places, and people donate clothes to you to give to the poor. You don't have to fill your house with all that stuff, but you fill your house so that you can bless somebody. You let people bring stuff to you, and you're able to distribute their stuff because you don't need their stuff, but you put it in a way you even have to drive to drop the stuff off. So that's a blessing right there, you know. And God gonna bless you. You know, you have not even get your best yet from God, but it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Just trust him. You know, just trust him. So I thank God. Anybody else want to share something? I see Deacon on the line and Apostle, Prophetess, and I think Minister. It's on the line. Anybody want to share, you can. If not, we're going to pray and close out. We'll be back here tomorrow. The Lord say the same. And we're in the land of the living. We'll be here tomorrow. Somebody's going to bring a word. You know, I don't know if Apostle is here. The bishop and the apostle is coming on. Who else? Got somebody bring a word. The prophetess will be on. Prophetess Kirshie will be on Friday morning. And we'll have somebody bring the word on Saturday because Minister Andre, she has to go to the birthday party for her little niece. And I told her that's fine. You know, she makes sure she tells me early in the week. She said, well, Pastor, I can't come on Saturday. I said, that's fine. It's all no problem. We still will be here, you know, because we got to keep the word going. You know, I tell an apostle a lot of times when I'm off, if I take a day off or 2 days to go to do a little bit of work to get some money to help the churches in Africa and India, I'm just burdened down. Because if I don't have nobody to bring the words, I'm so heavy because I feel like I'm denying God. I'm not doing what God called me to do, you know. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I need to make a little bit of money so I can help these people. And the Lord make a way for me to get it. I'm waiting on another guy to call me back. He ain't called me yet, but, you know, that would be a nice job. It's 3 boilers in this one building. This would take me a long time, take me a while. But, you know, I have to wait till he calls. If he don't call, I'm not worried about him because the price I give him, I know he want me to go low, but I'm not going to go no low. Because as I told my honey, I said, I'm not going to keep shorting my staff because then I end up spending more money than what I charge the people, and I don't make that much. So I said, I give him a price. If he's accept the price, so be it. If he don't accept the price, still so be it, you know. Because I don't try to rob nobody, but I got to make a profit. If I can't make a profit, what's the point doing the job? No. Well, nobody else want to share. We're going to pray and close up. We just thank God. We thank God for you all for coming on today. Thank Deacon for being on the line and prophetess or minister. Which one of the phones are on. I thank God. Minister Jones, he shared yesterday a very powerful sharing. He was actually preaching. He preached very well yesterday. We just appreciate him a lot. You know, appreciate him and his tenacity. I thank God for the way he's got a hunger and thirst for righteousness, because, you know, he shared a little bit before on the line of what God has delivered him from. You know, when you can remember and you can see what God has done for you and what God is doing, man, you'll have an option to really, really glorify God, to tell the world about God. I don't have no shame when I talk about God. When I talk about the stuff he delivered, I don't have no shame. Somebody want to talk about it, let him go talk. Man, he used to do this, he used to do that. Let him go talk. I don't care. I know I'm free of that stuff because God delivered me. You know, he delivered me, set me free. So we bless the Lord and praise the Lord for each and every one of you. And I pray that God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I pray that you will not be lacked. You will not lack anything. It doesn't matter what it is, but you will not lack. If you just call upon the Lord and let him know your concerns, what you need, God will meet you at your point of need because he promised that. God promised that. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have allowed us to deliver today, your word, knowing that you give the assignments. We don't sign anything on our own. You give the assignments to your church, and we are your church, it's not the building. We ask, Father God, as we leave this electronic church line, but not your presence, O God, that you continue to go with us, because you said in your word that you would never leave us or forsake us, that you'll be with us even to the end of time. Lord, we pray today, Lord God, for blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel to come upon us, to overtake us, not so we can be braggadocious, but Lord, we are praying for blessings to come so that we can be a helper to those that are less fortunate than us, O God. Father, that we be able to help the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and the orphans, O God. Even help the single mothers, the single fathers that have to do everything on their own. Lord, bless us so we can be a blessing to those, Lord, that they will see that your hand is in the earth, O God. Not just the word, but your hand is in the earth, O God. We'll be your hands. We'll be your feet, O God. We'll even be your mouth to declare the word, O God. We pray, Father God, as we leave this line, but not your presence, God, that you bless us continually. Lord, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak in somebody's ear gate today that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It might stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. See, Jesus put that word in the book because he knew that all of us, regardless of how long we were teaching and preaching the gospel, we all still have some bad works in our hearts, in our the safe, that old rusty safe. We still got some bad works hidden in there. And God said, keep it closed. Just let the good works come out, that people will see that you are a child of God. They will see the light of God upon your life, and they will say, what must I do to be saved? But if we come out and let the old works come out, we start acting like they're acting. They say, well, I thought you would save. I thought you would save. You know, because people quick to point the finger at you. When you walk, supposed to be walking for Christ, and then you start acting like the world, people are going to say, well, I thought you would save. I thought you was a Christian. So don't give them that opportunity to mock you. Just let them glorify the God that's in you. I love you guys so much. Have a blessed day. And if the Lord say the same, we'll all meet here tomorrow morning, the same time, same place, in Jesus' name. We love you guys. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You,
mother.
Amen.
Love you. Be Lord safe. Lord. Be safe out there.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Can't get Brother Deacon to say anything at all. Oh, Brother Deacon. I'm going to sit inside for a minute, Miss, and then after sitting there,